Hello, Gone Wild Audible listeners. This is Pun Finisher, and I was thinking, I've been thinking, that I should put together sort of a primer for new recorders, people who haven't really studied recording or voice acting, or even acting, really. Because you study stage acting, maybe it does give you a little bit of, you know, because you have to study emoting and projection, and that's sort of different than when you're on a microphone. It's a different kind of acting, which is why, you know, you see movie actors that do animation and it sucks. There's a reason they're professional animation voiceover actors, but even some, I don't want to go into that. Some of them are just really horrible. It's like you hear some anime and it's like the voice actors are just like, they all sound the same and they sound horrible. It's like, this character sounds like that character. It's like, there's no differentiation. But then you get some animation voiceover actors, and they just, they can do such a broad range that, you know, because of my training, because watching cartoons growing up, I got familiar with the different people who did voices, and I could tell that that person was doing all these different voices. You look at The Simpsons, and you know the main cast is like five, maybe seven people at one point doing the majority of the voices beside the guest shots. So anyway, I've noticed that there. I don't want to point anything out and say people are doing things wrong, because I want to be encouraging. But I do notice that a lot of people make the same mistakes. I think a lot of people are doing cold reads when they do script work. And it sounds, I don't want to say it sounds bad, because that's not what I'm here to do. But I really don't recommend cold reading for most people, because cold reading is a skill that's developed. I've worked really hard on cold reading. And if I'm doing like narration for a book or something, I generally like to read over what I'm going to record for the session before I just go right to it. I don't typically like to do cold reads on something that big, but sometimes you just have to jump right in. And I mean, even professionals have to do several takes on things. So don't, the main crux of this is don't get discouraged. This is a hobby. It's not a job. Don't worry if someone sounds better, if someone does things better than you do in your perception, because this is not about being technically proficient. It's not about having the best equipment. I mean, I'm using the Blue Yeti, which I got on sale for a song. If I hadn't been able to afford it, because I'm not going to pay over $100 for something I do on a hobby. When I record in someone else's studio. I go and I do that stuff, and I don't have the money for that kind of equipment yet. Maybe if I had, I probably should have built a home studio. But what I'm saying is, I paid like $70 for this mic, and it's a great mic, and it sounds really good. But it's not so much the equipment, it's what I do with it. And I've heard people that are using their cell phones and they do great things because they put themselves into it. And it's not, for me anyway, I don't listen to the technical aspects. I don't listen to someone who's, using sound effects, and the sound effects don't blend with the sound, because someone has put their effort into this. And I'm not evaluating this professionally. I'm not saying, okay, well, now you need to go and work on this, because that person isn't doing work for me. That person is doing something out of joy, out of a love for it, to give something to other people. That personally, that's why I don't use sound effects in my stuff for the most part. I'll do vocal effects because it's fun to play with. But sound effects, because, then you have to work, you really helps to get the sampling rates kind of the same because it's easier to manipulate. And you want to have the sound be, sound like it's coming from the same world. Because, you know, you go and you find sound effects and they're recorded in a different environment. And so it sounds completely different from the environment in which you're recording. And so that's why I leave it out. Because for me, it would be jarring for my work to do that because I don't want to put that out. But it doesn't bother me when somebody else does it because I'm not looking at that professionally. But when I put something out, even for a hobby, I want to do it professionally. And that's what people don't understand is, you know, when I've talked about why I don't do those things. Because for me, as a professional, doing that as a job, you know, and then coming and doing something as a hobby, if I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it. And I've only used sound effects a couple of times, mostly because I was pressured into it. Well, I wouldn't say pressure, but Shadow Obsidian insisted I use sound effects for a script fill I did for her. And that was the only reason I did that. And, I mean, you'll go and you'll look, and the only thing that I really do, is I'll edit some things out, and I will apply vocal effects. Because I like using effects to change my voice. Because I can do a lot with just the physical characteristics of my voice. Because of the years of training that I've done. But also the training that I've done with the applications to... I can add effects to do more than I can just naturally. So if I were on stage, I would have to have the assistance of the sound engineer in the sound booth doing stuff, making my voice. Because I wouldn't be able to do it. Like if I were just standing there with you in person, you know, there are a lot of vocal characterizations I could do, but I can't, there are some things I can't do without the help of hardware or software. And so, you know, when scripts call for stuff like that and you don't feel up to it because you don't maybe know how to use the software that's there, you just use it, basically record and edit. That's fine because a script may call for something, but that doesn't mean you have to do it. Scripts basically are guidelines. I know some people are kind of, you know, they want their scripts to be read verbatim. I'm not one of those people. And I'm, when I direct, I'm not that kind of person. Scripts are a guideline. It's, you know, this is a framework and it's a way for you to get from point A to point B. And when you're working with a cast, it's, you have your lines, what you're supposed to establish so that the person can say their lines. You want to get your castmate to his or her next line. You are facilitating the telling of the story, and you are facilitating your castmate in their execution of their lines, and likewise for them to you. It's a collaborative effort in that regard, and that's how I look at my script writing when I'm writing it. I'm not saying, "Hey, people are going to read this exactly like it's written." No, I mean, if that's what I wanted, you know, I would just say, you know, for recitation. That's a recitation where you just recite. I'm looking for a performance where people take it and they make it theirs. Find a way to make it yours. And now I'm going to get on to the biggest thing for my acting students when I've taught acting. The biggest stumbling block for new performers are mistakes. When you make a mistake, there are really two main ways you can go. And for new performers, the most common reaction is to let it just completely blow things up. And that's not going to help you. Because if you blow up, if you freeze, the audience is going to know. Now, what you need to remember is the audience typically is not sitting there with a script. And so you know what's in the, you're supposed to know what's in the script. Excuse me. No, I'm not going to edit that out. This is in the raw. The audience is there to see a performance. They're listening, they're watching, whatever. I'm used to doing this for students who are going to be going on stage. You know, they're there to see you perform. They're not there to see... some critics and some dramatists will know Shakespeare. So, like, if you're doing something like Shakespeare, that's a different story. We're not going to talk about that. We're talking about other stuff, because that's, you know, when you get into classics, that's recitation more and performance. It's just kind of in between. That's advanced. We're not going to talk about performing Shakespeare here or any of the classics, where it's really important that you get, because that's, you know, it's not just dramatics, it's poetry, and it's very important. It's written specifically that way. The writing's completely different. Anyway, I've sidetracked myself. The point is, when you make a mistake, the audience doesn't know it's a mistake unless you tell them it's a mistake. So own your mistakes. Go with it. I don't call them mistakes. I call them artistic choices. This was my choice to do that. The audience doesn't know that's not the way it was written. I can't tell you how many times I've said a line differently on stage than the way it's written. But my job is to go from that mistake to where my castmates can get their lines. So if I mess up and I let it get to me, and I let the audience see it's a mistake, that can throw everything off. But instead, if I act with professionalism and I make it seem like that's the way it was written, that was the way it was supposed to go, then I can get my castmate to his or her next line and we can keep going. And one time I had a castmate and she kept feeding me back to the same line. So I had to bump on the mic. So I had to go and get out of that loop. So I basically had to sort of phrase her line in a way that made it seem like it was really, you know, it required some thinking on my feet and improvisation a little bit, and knowledge of the script and knowledge of character. And that's the thing, that when you put yourself into what you're doing, you'll be able to do that. It's not saying that you have to go out and, you know, be able to fill time while something's going on backstage, which I've done several times because I love improvisational theater. I've been able to go out in character and just fill impromptu, you know, it's impromptu, just, you know, go out in character and do a little 5-minute scene with another actor, and nobody even knew that it wasn't scripted, that it wasn't supposed to be like that. Even though people who watched us do that had been there the previous night and we hadn't done that, they didn't even know the difference. And that's the important thing about anything you're doing, is character, because story is character and character is story. Whatever you're doing, if you're reciting poetry, it's about what you are bringing out of yourself and giving. And I'm not going to go into the, you know, method acting and finding something within yourself. I'm just saying, why are you here? Obviously you like to talk dirty. You like to, you do these salacious little things, and you know, it's we're here to have fun. We're here to evoke a response in other people. That is the fundamental basis of all our characterizations. And so I suggest that's where we work from every time, is to have the idea that we are here for that purpose. And we need to remind ourselves, we're not here to be judged on our acting ability. We're not here to be judged on our speaking ability. Because, yes, you can tell that there are some people around here that have had training in diction and stage presence. Or at least I can, because I'm trained to look for it. I'm trained to teach it. And I hear it. We know our own kind. I'm sure that they can tell that I've been trained. And that doesn't mean that they're better than anybody else. That's the important thing. As you know, you can hear, I almost called out someone, but I mean, because you know, we know the people and they're really great and they are, you know, we love listening to them, but that doesn't mean that they're any better than anybody else who has just posted their first thing, who's never performed anything before. Because that person who's doing that is giving something of him or herself to the rest of us. And that's wonderful. That's why we're here. We're not here to compete with each other. We're here to help each other. This is a community. That's why I'm here telling you these things about it. You know, make your mistakes, make them brilliantly. Go with it. Have fun. Because you never know where it's going to end up. It could end up in something really great. Some of the things that I've recorded, I've made mistakes and gone with it and ended up with something that I wasn't expecting. And it was like, hey, that's great. It was for a long time. I wouldn't do any of my own scripts. If I recorded something scripted, it would be someone else's script. If I were recording something that was my own, it would be completely improvised. I've since done a couple of my own scripts just because the scope of what I was trying to do really dictated that it needed to be mapped out. But for me, the way that I write and the way that I perform are very similar. So basically what I'm doing when I'm improvising is just kind of writing out loud. And when I'm writing, I very seldom go back and change the things that I've written. I just let them stand. And I'm not saying that's what you have to do when you're writing. And that's not what you have to do when you're performing. If you're performing an improvisational audio and you're going through and you get to the end and you don't quite feel that you like it, there's nothing that says you have to publish it that way. You can go back. It's your piece. You decide. Now, of course, there will be people who is like, oh, I just think it's crap and I'm not going to publish it. Don't let that get to you. But if you think, well, maybe I could have done this or I could have done that. Maybe improv wasn't the way it was supposed to go. Maybe you should sit down and write it out so then you can change it and map it and then say, oh, could have gone this way, could have gone that way. Because some things, maybe they need to be written out. I mean, I know that's why I sat down to write some of the things that I did. It's all about finding what works best for you. And what works best for you might not work best for someone else. And vice versa. It's make yourself happy. And that's going to make other people happy. And yeah, you're not going to make everybody happy. And sure, there might be someone who's going to get more upvotes. Someone's going to get more comments. But don't worry about that. Worry about making what you like, what resonates in you, and put that out. And it's going to please somebody. And that's what matters, is reaching someone and not worrying about who's going to be more popular. Because if you worry about who's going to be more popular, it's going to be a very short ride and it's going to end badly. And that's why what I think this community is about is to build the sense of community so we support each other instead of trying to compete with each other. Like, oh, well, I want to get more upvotes than so-and-so. I want to get better comments than so-and-so. I'm here to help with whatever advice you might need. I'm hoping that there will be the same people that have offered technical advice from some of the other subs. I'm hoping that they'll be here. I would offer technical advice, but I'm really fucking lazy, and offering tech advice over the internet is just really frustrating for me. So I may or may not offer technical advice, but when it comes to performance, when it comes to writing, I won't critique because I've been down that road, and people do not like, because I don't want to say brutal, because that implies that there's malice behind it. And there's no malice. I am just completely honest when I critique a piece. because that is the only way that I serve you, because of the schooling that I've been through, and the, you know, having gone to film school and studied to be an actual film critic and criticizing drama and picking apart everything. That's how I serve a writer, and I will only do it if I'm getting paid, because then I can say, you're paying me to do this, so you're going to get what you pay for. So I'm going to pick it clean, pick those bones clean, and have everything laid out nicely and neatly and in order. So that's why, you know, people, I do not edit people's work, and I do not critique people's work, because I've lost friendships over my criticisms. And the thing is, you know, people look at criticism like it's negative, and it's, criticism should be neutral. It should just be saying, you know, this is, technically speaking, you know, we're going with dramatic structure, we're going with story structure and plot and character and all that, and this is, you know, based on that. Doesn't mean it's not good. Doesn't mean I don't like it. But, because there are plenty of things that I like that I admit are bad. And there are plenty of things I admit that are technically good that I do not like. I won't go into them because it doesn't matter. But that's what people don't understand. They can't divorce the two concepts. That when I am doing that, I'm being professional. I am being detached. I'm not your friend when I'm critiquing. I am working on that. So I don't do that. I do rewrites. I do script flips. That's not a problem. I'll offer writing help. But, and I will write things for you. Like if you want something written, I do that. But I don't ghostwrite. So like if you have an idea and you say, like, here's a rough outline, and then I write something for you, and then you go and put it out as yours. No, if I write it, I want credit. You can say it's based on your idea or co-written with, depending on how much writing you put into it. It's the same with anybody. You know, if they work on it, you should give them credit. If they gave you the idea, you should credit them for the idea. I just think it's simple. It's equitable. But I think that we should be here for each other in everything that we do. And I hope that's what will set us apart from all the other communities, and just community involvement, involved with each other, because nobody should feel that they're alone in doing this, and nobody should feel that they're having to compete with anybody else, because each one of us has something to offer. And I'm not going to give the whole special snowflake bullshit spiel. I seriously mean it. There are unique perspectives that each of us brings into this, and we all benefit from examination of those perspectives, and the contributions that we can make are valuable, and I think we need to encourage that. So I don't care what you do, I just think everybody should do something, and we should all contribute. So whatever I can do to facilitate that, please let me know. I'll be here. Thanks.